Pat.
This poem is about thought. I think I have to think it out again. I thought to the end of it once, but then I realized the end was endless when I thought beyond the thinking that I'd done. Like fireworks that go off inside the brain, or laces that slip open in the rain. To think is to skip in the playground of the head. We skip and skip and skip until we're dead. Thought is a kind of glue that sticks your eyes closed if you don't keep them open enough. Thinking is a kind of blinking that stops your eyes from drying up and allows you to keep winking. I thought, but where did I start? And where was I? And where am I thinking to? If you think hard enough, the moon will wink at you like a friendly grown-up at a child.
Thank you, Ben. Very short poems, please, Matt. There's quite a few people on the list. Next we have Katie Newby.
Sorry, I was... just read one, and it is... There it is, okay. This poem is called A World of Ladies. Ladies who lunch in cafes on salads and cold soups. Ladies in public pools. Ladies who double park their Ford Explorers outside the laundromat. Ladies who take too long to order their coffee and those who order plain blacks. Ladies with perfect manicures and ladies who haven't had one since Nancy Reagan was first lady. Ladies jogging on the prom, a coterie of octogenarian ladies playing bridge and discussing sex at 80. Ladies training their dogs and ladies spoiling their dogs. Ladies who love being stay-at-home moms and ladies who resent their daughters. Ladies in malls, ladies in hardware stores, ladies on billboards and in magazines, ladies in bars and ladies of the night, ladies that are the same or aren't what they seem, ladies who dream of being the first lady president or of not being the first lady president.
Thank you, Gaten. And next we have Mary O'Connell.
Thanks, Sue.
Oops.
I've been listening to a lot of words that are rather strange. Apparently, you're not supposed to say colored people anymore. You have to say people of color. And all this identity politics. So I've come up with this thing. It's called Watch What You Say. Buzzwords seem to rule our lives in the present tripwire climate. Now patriarchal gender roles are acted out in private. Essentialism highlights your accent, race, and class. What counts is how you're managing to stand out from the mass. Those ethnic minorities excluded in the past now take part in public discourse, their status rising fast. Non-binary teenagers have been causing quite a stir. They love confusing wrinklies who can't tell him from her. Straight white males are now advised to check their privilege, as grandiose tendencies might give their words an edge. This turning of the tables, an undoubted precious gain, could have some consequences completely unforeseen. It might crush robust rebuttal in an effort to placate the snowflake generation who keep rising to the bait. Let's talk of neurotypicals in case someone's on the spectrum. Soft soap politicians and tell them you'll elect them. Being PC is now so hard that along with good old Seinfeld, we have to tread with caution through a constant verbal minefield.
Thank you, Mary. And next we have Eimear Penny.
Hi. This is called Navigation. A halo around the moon, the arms around our lives, that held us firm and loved us so, we only noticed after. It's true, absence makes the heart grow fonder, or lunar lunatic veins, crisscrossed, cold, crystalline, in icy skies, skidding across silver ground. The three musketeers, with mischief abound, bubbling inside our celestial bodies, falling at warped angles that we walked unsteadily, navigating the tight ropes of dreams and plots. They might as well be the limbs of the moon and the sun, gateways to eternity, the bridges to stars in between that lead to all the different versions of time, and we are travellers, skidding across silver lifelines. But to all who screamed, beware the ridges, warned us of the fall, it wasn't a fall that brought our end at all. It was the way we walked together until at last the pathways narrowed and branched, leaving space just for one on each. I travelled to the sun and back, through storm, strain and disaster. Still I looked to the moon in wonder. I wish we could have just a few days longer. Hope you know my heart is yours and yours is mine. I listen, hear three voices entwined by time. Solis, Stella, Luna. Lost girls now, adventurers then, and each with different biased meanings. These memories, myths, inside my mind.
Thank you, Eimear. And next we have Phyllis Plan.
Hello. So last week I read out a bit of a folklore poem called the Cliff Shepherd and the Sea Mistress. And basically what this folklore / poem is about is that the cliff shepherd morphed these cliffs at the edge of Kerry, and he's so passionate about these cliffs that he doesn't want them to change. But yet the waves, the sea mistress comes in and keeps changing them. So what does the cliff shepherd do about this? And I'm reading out the second part of it, and I'm sure you can catch up quite quickly enough. And I hope you enjoy it. When giants die, they become stone. The sea mistress lives forever. Imprisoned by the will of the moon, it forced the sea mistress to migrate each evening and crash into what was made by the giant's hands, changing it, damaging it, eroding it, weakening it. In anger, the sea shepherd ran into the waves, pushing his big self against the galloping tides. Formless, the mistress was not harmed. Immortal, the giant's hide was turned to stone. Said the sea to the giant, "Understand, cliff shepherd, I can't help but move with the will of the moon." Said the cliff shepherd to the sea, "Stop changing what I know. Stop changing what I've done. Stop changing what's home. Stop changing what the cliffs and I worked upon." But again and again, the sea mistress, with her big waves, slid over and folded around the giant, and then rammed into the cliffs behind. Thank you. I read out the last part next week, and if you want to see the first part, just ask me. Thank you.
Thank you, Philip. Next we have Mary Nagel. Mary Nagel.
I should have known that morning we rolled out of bed and decided not to go back without cover of liquor. That's our decision, yours. I tried for you, leaving so sure a new shifting staircase moved away. But if on that first night I kissed you really, not just like any old boy, if I'd known that I'd be down on the bathroom floor flushed out of the thought of you and her, could I have made you stay? Because now this bleeding rose is making my lips bleed, and I'm dancing like it's the rite of spring before unaffected eyes. Stravinsky won't stop till I'm dead. The tribes girl knew she'd be sacrificed. I thought I'd be loved.
Thank you, Mary. And next we have Marcel Kroner.
As you can hear, I picked up a very strong and very good English, German accent, and don't worry, the poem will be in English, but it has a German title, you might know, it's called Zeitgeist, and is inspired by the century of enlightenment, because I think each century should be one of enlightenment. So, let's start. Zeitgeist. In the good old days, I was told to climb up the hills, to fetch the pails of our daily water, labor which has had to be done, quenching the thirst of generations. In this way, work went on, but improvement came with the time, relocating the spring into the garden, so that I swung the handle of a pump to finally get what I was thirsty for, pressing water out of the inner earth. Still, I curved my hands to immerse them in the bucket, and I splashed the liquid on my face, testing what I scooped. An ordinary act I used to do as a man who stood on his ground with refreshed eyes for futurity. And I built my exclusive habitat with running water that flows faster than I could have walked up and down the water-giving hills. Now comfortably blocked by the tap, the fluid waits for its destinations. I turn on and off the domesticated waterfall, and it is as if the house detaches itself. The water, almost soundless, flows into the basin beneath the window that looks out over the hills.
Thank you, Marcel. And next we have Patricia. No, sorry. Patrick Cotter. Sorry. Oh. Patrick Cotter.
Wouldn't be the first time somebody called me Patricia. Never mind, I'm stripping them. Okay, and how many of you have had experience exiting or entering a shop where you pause before the door waiting for it to open until 2 seconds or 5 seconds later you realize it's actually not one of those doors, it's going to open by itself? I don't think I'm on my own level. But anyway, such an experience inspired this particular ditty called Time Traveler. Now is before he was born. Days of air shaken by bees, crow song probing eaves and keys, maker of the future, perfect terracotta tents, tents of sayings. The absence of push in his education was unpresaged by the door's lack of wired sesame. He waits and waits for egress. The door needs only his touch. Its only desire is to swing. He waits for it to open itself, as the cloud opens for the melting press of the sun. He is ready to rot where he leans, leaving a breeze-blown blemish long after he's arrived, long before he has come into being.
Thank you, Pat. And next we have Ray Hamilton.
Thank you. This one is called Our Readers. It's about our readers, I guess, or our readers. From the one sheet man to the blank check one, the same old, self-serving script soaking of hypocrisy. They got so used to falsehood that they lost the run of themselves. Each successive lie hot on the heels of its brother, scarcely a day abroad before it's countermanded. We got so used to falsehood, now we'll swallow anything. The corrupt among us flaunt insouciantly ambiguous evidences, sly hints from proud crooks, inviting us to slap their backs when all we really want, what we really, really want, is to kick their arses.
Thank you, Ray. And now we actually do have Patricia Walsh.
It's called Expanding Rebel. Hiding in plain sight, the Furies can't call a lost cause. Forever losing monsters at a stroke, after such knowledge falling flat, a small town near oblivion boasted on war. Wheresoever the firing line extends, a salt red cold fish is a lesser evil, breaking ice over nibbles and drinks, containing embarrassment for spelled East, a pimpernel saving the privileged class. Love to hell, but not back, mislaid, bulging suitcases bring back the days of good neighbours, the rest being history, hitting culture where needed, a fruitful exercise. We have once tragedy is knows indifference. Searching for salvation in a wounded heart. Operation behind the wire, master lost. Unknown soldiers grab the enemy by the ankle, having lived with the enemy for too long. In living colour, orderly and humane. Higher forms of murder, born survivors. Plans of memory, err on currency. Propaganda exercises, dead being awakened. Campaigns of godless militants, forget victory. I witness trouble at arm's length. Thanks.
Thank you, Patricia. And then we have a question mark. Is this one? It's Gloria O'Connor. She will tweet. Yes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
This is about my mum after we knocked her home. Like, I didn't knock it, but the home place was knocked. Like, her home place was knocked. Going, gone, read black letters on the kitchen wall. If only these walls could talk, but they can't, at least not in time. Make it your business to be busy when this roof caves into ruin. Folding chevron shelves impinge on wooden doors burst from their hinges. The bombing of a country I don't know. I ache to stop you pacing across places I can't reach you. I used to know this home too, but not in time enough to ease your foreign feelings. You pondered room to room at night. I couldn't see you, it was empty and quiet. A heavy quiet closing in around you, like a hospital bedside at night as she lay sleeping or dying. I watch you now inspect a rubble island, watch the dust rise and set, and hope when you come back you're at home. I'm getting used to things I know I'll have to part from. Familiarize and lose, family and loss, going, gone.
Thank you, Gloria. And next we have Charles Clark.
Distractions recently. Two festivals and I had to do my taxes. So I'm apologizing slightly for reading something by a now deceased poet.
I really meant so. No tongue, no fauna. There is a tree native in Turkestan, or further east towards the Tree of Heaven, whose hard, cold cones, not being once to time, will leave their mother only for good cause, will ripen only in a forest fire, wait to be fathered, as was Bacchus once, through men's long lives, that image of time's end. I knew the phoenix was a vegetable, so Semele desired for deity, as this in cube, thirst for the new dawn.
Thank you, Charles. And next we have Bonrua.
Bonrua.
Forgive my Irish pronunciation.
On Rourke, on Pat 9. Tree stores sheas, ag a spar in a lee, oorlord cement sa dirka. Le pecan moor, le bullock moor, ag prastiller, kasula Shostakovich, scoob feek len am all ege, ag anis, can't have a mixe. Lifted, nor nardihe, on guard a car, on Dr. Russell, on fake law, on clown the Kayla. She lost it, yin shema. The solicitor, the gates flew open. Tomas McCurtain, Trailer Baxfield. Dear was Marilla Town Holland Carr, Fionn Brat, Fionn Lash. Gan Foblet Uncannily, Gan Ogluf Naharin, Gan Massar and Tanga, Gan Liberty, Shinne.
Thank you, Owen. And next we have Ciarán McCurtain. Are you there?
Yeah.
You are?
Pregnant pause.
Very pregnant.
Le ciel d'or, un peu plus au français et après ça en anglais. Tout le monde peut chercher un moment au-dessus du ciel d'or. Sur le grand voyage entre la matin blanche de la nuit noire. Le travail d'humanité, toujours nous recherchons. Le seul Dieu qui gagnait le titre. Ennui qui donnait la vie, j'irai encore à tu quand tu m'appelles. The golden sky. We are all searching for our moment beneath a golden sky. The long journey between the white morning and black night, without stars, without the moon. The work of humanity is always to be searching. For the only thing ever worthy, ever worshipped, ever worthy. Good night, O life giver. I will move once more towards you when you give me my cue. Thank you.
Thank you, Kieran. And next we have Dan or John Johnson? You sure? Sorry.
Yeah,
Dan. Dan, sorry, Dan.
We went through Durara, gone with my mother, find graves in Clonakilty, blazed with gold and black. Goramaga, like he might have said.
Thank you, Dan. Next we have Max Creedon. Oh. Yay! Thanks for you.
Yeah.
I know, Max. She's probably gone.
Hearsay.
Well, we'll go to the next one, which is you, right?
Me?
Yeah, you. You're here.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be doing something with Mags, like. Never mind.
What's the next person?
No, we'll never mind.
Yep.
We'll do something. Wait, Calcus the boogeyman. Calcus stared at his hands, willing them to start shaking. But nothing. Only stolen thoughts tripping, daisy chain making. He rose and turned. Wide wall open grinning, face front onto hackles risen, saliva dripping, V-twin Harley snarling, guard dog. Spring, deft tongue and technique. Crack, whimper, dead dog at his feet. Robber soul near silent glide, night watch person step aside and he'd arrive. Lock pick, snip click, inside, turn left, then right, upstairs, in here, safe. Draw breath. Crack! Out roof light, into night, drain pipe flight. Main street, side street, off street, indoor, shut door, and secure, shoes off, feet soft. The lure of the looker. Sovereign, Krugerrand, Ruby, Diamond, Pearl. File facts. Hard drive, top secret file. Blackmail, hate mail, pawn shop, fence off, cash in. A kilogram of heroin. Average day for an ex-special forces junkie.
I think Doe Harding wanted to be on the open mic, weren't you? Yeah? Go ahead. Yeah, to wait for Max to return.
There's always
or
time for you, Doe.
I think I'm good, Doe.
That sounded like suffering home sick blues.
Do you think I'm winning the Nobel Prize?
No.
Let's not go there, shall we?
Might. When I was young, back a long time ago, one of the first records I bought was Bob Dylan. Came out in 1962, his first LP. And then there was the freewheeling. Times Are Changing, Another Side, and then the fifth LP was Bringing It All Back Home. When I used to buy LPs in those days, I used to write the date on the inside of the sleeve, because it was a big investment. It was my wages probably for the week, and it was on the 12th of October 1967, which was 49 years ago. And when I went to my diary, which I have a few left back in those days, just to corroborate it, it was there, all right. And I also bought Under Milk Wood by Dylan Thomason the same day. If you're going to stick with this note for 60 seconds, you're just going to have to put up with it, because I'm going to sing.
Right.
Antoine Deck. And it's called, when he brought out that LP, that there were 5 or 6 classic songs on it. First one was Subterranean Homesick Blues, Maggie's Farm, Mr. Tambourine Man, Gates of Eden, It's All Over Now Baby Blue, all on one album, including this one. My love, she speaks like silence, without ideals or violence. She doesn't have to say she's faithful, yet she's true like ice, like fire. People carry roses, make promises by the hours. My love, she laughs like the flowers. Valentines can't buy her in the dime stores and bus stations. People talk of situations, read books for a few quotations, draw conclusions on the wall. My love, she speaks softly. She knows there's no success like failure, and failure's no success at all. That's what shiny word like. Cloak and dagger dangles, madams light the candles, and ceremonies of the horsemen, and the pawn must hold the grudge. Statues made of matchsticks, crumbling to one another. My love, she winks, she does not bother. She knows too much to argue or to judge. The bridge at midnight trembles, the country doctor rambles. Bankers' nieces seek perfection, expecting all the gifts that wise men bring. The wind howls like a hammer, the night blows cold and rainy. My love, she is like some raven at my window with a broken wing. Don't you pop, Dylan boy!